Meek's mother this morning, Marianne, who is suffering with a pulmonary embolism. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch her body, that this emboli that is around her lungs, Lord, would be able to be diluted and be able to be dismissed without causing further infraction upon her system. We just commit Monique and Joe to you this morning. Pray your anointing and blessing on them and their ministry here amongst us. Lord, we pray for Joe as he comes and ministers to us in the power of your Spirit this morning. May you move him and touch him and anoint his lips as he speaks to us, that we might indeed hear your words being spoken to our very hearts this morning. We commit ourselves to hearing, to listening, and then obeying your word as it is preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Pastor Joe.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning at Westwood Alliance Church. It's good to see you all. I recognize that I'm not up here very often, but our church has been helping several of the churches around, and I get sent out because I like it. I really do. But this morning is the first weekend of Advent, and the Advent season is such a special time for the church. The Advent season is a time with which we anticipate many things, but specifically we anticipate the coming of the Messiah. Just a quick couple of things so that we're all on the same page. Advent, the Advent season actually technically isn't part of the Christmas season. Did you know that? It's the 4 weeks leading up to the beginning of the Christmas season, ending with Christmas Eve. And then the Christmas season begins with Christmas Day. Bet you didn't know that. But anyways, the Advent season is a time with which we focus ourselves and look forward to the coming of the Messiah. And in our case, we are no longer looking forward to the first coming. We are looking forward to the return of the King. And this morning, we are going to look into the passage of John chapter 21, finishing off this incredible gospel. It's one of my favorite gospels. I've said it before. There's something incredibly different about the way that John presents the story of Jesus Christ. One that shows the humanity of Christ in such a way that we can't help but feel empathetic and feel the feelings that Jesus went through as he had these discussions or discourses with these many different people, or these miraculous events that he performed in establishing who he was. The book of John, if you weren't here for the sermon, again, is a recollection from the Apostle John and an editor who helped him put it all together, written probably around 67 AD, one of the earliest ones. And this one gospel is written specifically for a Christian group called the Johannine Community. They were separate from a lot of the different churches at the time because of the persecutions. And they lived in community with each other. And in order to establish their doctrines, the Apostle John wrote these memoirs down to remind us of who Jesus Christ was. All of that coming together in this final chapter. Back in chapter 18, the Apostle Peter, when Jesus is arrested, denies Christ 3 times. He falls on the promise to be with Jesus. He even claimed that he would follow Jesus to the cross, even to death. And yet, when questioned by a servant girl or a man in the temple courts, he failed to stand up for Jesus. And this is a story that I think relates to many of us. In many times of our lives, when asked to stand for Jesus, sometimes we are afraid. Sometimes we are unaware. Sometimes we don't have the words to say. And in one way or another, we fail Jesus. But the story here leaves us an incredible story of Peter's healing for his needs and his restoration to whom Jesus wanted him to be. Chapter 21 begins with this, another story of a miraculous catch of fish. Verse 1 says, after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, that's Greek Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, and both meaning twin, Thomas is Aramaic, Greek, Didymus is Greek, both meaning twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and the other disciples were together. I'm going out for fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you got any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards or so. When they had landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I wanted him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that the disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. In this passage, we have several things that are probably the biggest pieces of what we're supposed to do as a church put in here. It's no coincidence that John decides to tell another story of the catching of the fish. It's no question why John decided to have repetition in the discourse, in the conversation between Jesus and Peter. In these words, in these passages, we have to notice a few things. And I want you to remember this. Today is the Advent in which we celebrate hope, the hope that Jesus Christ is bringing, the hope that things will be made right, all will be restored. I'll come back to hope in a minute. as we go through this, there is a couple things that I want us to notice. Not expecting Jesus. This is the first thing I want you to know. When you do not expect Jesus, you will not see him. As Jesus approached the boat, even as he was talking to them, they didn't recognize who he was until something miraculous happened. Until he said, hey, throw your net to the other side, and there were tons and tons of fish, they said, oh, that's like the first time. That must be Jesus. They recalled this action. Fisher of men, that's who we're supposed to be. It must be Jesus. We'll talk about the significance in a second. And then there's the story about Peter and Jesus talking. Now remember, repetition in the Jewish tradition is very important. Three times Peter disowned Christ. Three times he said, I don't know the man. Three times, meaning he really didn't want anything to do with Jesus at that time. It was an important thing. It was an absolute failure on Peter's part. His apostasy was not something that could easily have been forgotten. Not by himself, certainly. He turned his back on the Christ. But three times Jesus asks him, do you love me? And he asks again, do you love me? And again, do you love me? And Peter finally says, yes, yes, I do. Why do you ask me this? And Jesus tells him, it's because I want you to be the man that you were called to be. And all three times asking this question, Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Be a fisherman, feed my sheep. Keep those in mind. We'll come back. The two main tasks that were given to Peter is this, fishing and shepherding. If we look back into the other Gospels and recall the story of the catching of the fish the first time, it was when Jesus Christ was once again walking on the shore, originally walking on the shore, and he said, hey, you guys over there, do this miraculous thing. And they say, wow, that's really special. That's really cool. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will give you a task that is bigger than you could ever imagine. I will give you the work of God himself. And these men decided to follow Jesus. John doesn't repeat this story in telling us that Peter can redeem himself by adding more effort or trying harder. That's not the call. If we read this story correctly, we need to understand that the calling to be fishers of men isn't one of effort on our part, but in faithfulness to Jesus Christ. When they were on their own, fishing through the night, they caught nothing. As the sun rose, the fish would have swam deeper into the cooler parts of the Sea of Galilee, making dragnet fishing nearly impossible. But Jesus Christ then gives them instructions. He shows them what to do, how to do, and when to do it. I always tell my kids, when you are told, you do what you're told when you're told. What you're told when you're told. And these disciples followed those instructions and proved that it wasn't their effort that made them miraculous fishermen, but it was their faith in Jesus Christ, in the work that Christ can do, in the miracles that he can perform, that brings out an incredible catch of fish. Faith, not effort. When we as Christians follow the instructions of Jesus Christ, when we do what we're told, when we're told, in the book of the Bible, in the instructions that are found within those pages, when we follow them, we live according to how Jesus wants us to be. The second task that Peter is given is to be the shepherd. It's a curious thing that Jesus doesn't call him, hey, Pete, come on over here. I want to talk to you. He gives him his full legal name. And if you're a parent, you know exactly what that means. Joseph Him Leung Chan, get over here. You people who only have Caucasian names don't understand. When my parents said that, that was a big deal. When they said Chan Him Leung, golly, oh man, it was another level of scary. And Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, get over here. Do you love me? Simon, son of John. And the question is pointed and it says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. And he says, take care of my sheep. Feed them. Tend for them. Care for them. He sets Peter up and he restores his place. First as fisherman, a fisher of men, the one who would bring evangelism, the one who would catch people's hearts with the gospel. And second, to be the shepherd, to tend to the church's needs, to teach and to train those who would then be fishermen and shepherds as well. These are the two main tasks that are given to Peter, but there's also a warning. As Peter is being restored, he looks back and he sees the favorite disciple. And he says, what about this guy? Thinking that there's got to be something between these two, you know? Jesus, this was his best buddy. John was his buddy. And Peter wanted to be the favorite, but he felt probably a little bit like he needed to make up for his denying Christ back then. You know, it's kind of a big deal. He was probably feeling a little bit guilty. He was probably feeling a little bit defensive, and he says, what about this guy? And as we read this story, we need to realize that Jesus then rebukes Peter and says, you know what, this has nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with you. What he has to do, what his task will be, is none of your concern. In the church, the leadership that you have and what Jesus gave to Peter and John were unified, but they were not necessarily going to be cookie cutter uniform. The task that John had and the task that Peter had were completely different. The deaths at which they would glorify God were completely different. And Jesus tells Peter, don't compare yourself to him. Whatever I have for him is whatever I have for him. But you, focus on me. Follow me. That's what Jesus says to him. He then goes into this discourse and talks about how Peter, you know, when you're young and you're strong, you're going to be able to do a lot of things. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your arms, indicating that Peter was probably going to be crucified, that his hands would be bound, that he would be taken in order to glorify God. And that was the task that Jesus gave to him. Knowing that he was headed for a crucifixion, knowing that he was going to be taken where he didn't want to go, knowing that his life was forfeit, Peter had the option to run or to stay faithful, and he would not deny Christ a fourth time. He would not give up his Savior another time, and in fact goes on to plant the church, establishing the history of our great faith in Jesus Christ. An unbroken chain from the time of Peter all the way down to now, handed down from believer to believer. An unbroken story of God's greatness, of his task for his church, to be fishermen, to be shepherds, to be the agents of restoration. When Jesus Christ the King returns, when we finally have that advent, that final advent, the word advent is Latin for arrival. When we have the arrival of Jesus Christ, when we have that arrival of hope, that final hope, these are the things that we will be given. As fishermen, as fish, first of all, We are given hope that new life is available to you, that salvation is there for you, that all of our sins will be wiped away, that all that we need will be given to you so that you will be justified in Jesus Christ. As fish, we have the opportunity to be caught by God's incredible grace, by God's incredible love and forgiveness, to be freed from the murky waters of sin. As sheep, we have an incredible opportunity to live under the care of the greatest shepherd, to live under Jesus Christ, the one who protects us, who would leave the flock to find us, who would go and battle great beasts in order to redeem us. When we live within his care, we are given sustenance for life. We are given blessings beyond imagination. And I want to be very careful with that particular saying, though, because there's a lot of people who imagine that the blessings of Jesus Christ equate with monetary value. Maybe, but not always. The promises of Scripture, specifically in Hebrews chapter 13, tell us that, yeah, many people were given blessings. Many people were raised from the dead. Many people were healed. In the same breath, though, the apostle who writes the book of Hebrews promised that many others were chased into the desert, punished, tortured, and sawn in two. So do not, under any circumstance, believe that being under the care of God means you're going to be rich. That's a false gospel, and it's not true. Some of us may be called to lay down our life like the apostles did, all of them. When Jesus Christ returns, when the Advent happens, restoration will be ours. Restoration of the earth in all that God planned it to be, all that he originally designed, will be restored. Healing for your bodies, resurrection for the dead, all made available to you in its fullness. Ultimately, what we're talking about with the advent of hope, that final arrival when Jesus returns, is that the kingdom of God will return to earth, and the presence of God will become tangible for us once again. But the warnings for us are still here. Don't let rivalries in your life cause you to overlook who Jesus Christ wants you to be. We must put aside our petty differences for the benefit of the church. We must live in unity of the calling to be fishers of men, to bring people to God, captivating them with the gospel of hope and mercy and grace. We must be unified in the effort to be shepherds, to care for our flock, our brothers and sisters, spiritually and physically. The job of the church is to take care of each other as a family, but not only our family, also the world around us. The covenant made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was that the blessings that God would give to his people would be given through us to the world as well. And we must remember this part of being a shepherd. If we see a lost sheep running around, the shepherd's job was to go and take care of that sheep until the owner could come and find it, not to sacrifice it to protect his own. A shepherd will take in strays. And if this stray decides to stay, or if no owner comes to claim it, it would become his. We as shepherds for the Lord must take in strays. We must take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. Above all, we have to remember with the hope that arrives, all things will be made right. All the questions that we ever had will be answered. All that we didn't understand. At the end of time, when Christ returns, I believe that his followers will receive such an immense sense of relief, first and foremost, and then joy, and then celebration. But this is all not done by our own efforts. It is done simply by obeying Jesus Christ. I've had a lot of people over my 15 years of being a pastor ask me, why do you do what you do? How do you keep going day after day? Because even my non-Christian friends call to question the hypocrisy and the political mumbo-jumbo and the financial struggles of being and running a church. And I say to them, because I believe Jesus Christ told me to. Does it make sense in this world today? Probably not. Not to those who don't know who Jesus is. But my words for them is, I can't imagine my life being anything worthwhile without who Jesus Christ wants me to be. If I wasn't what Jesus Christ wanted me to be, if I wasn't doing what he commanded me to do, if I wasn't obeying what he said to me, I don't think my life would be worth living. As we celebrate the coming of hope, when Jesus Christ first arrived as the Messiah, that story that we look at every year should remind us that this is only the beginning of the restoration of humanity. And that we are now living in the time of Advent, of anticipation of the arrival of the final hope. Throughout Christmas, never forget that we're not celebrating a baby. We are celebrating the Lord of the universe returning to restore us. And to love us, and to give us the identity that we were supposed to have, his holy and blessed children who worship him because we see his fullness and his glory. This is the incredible story of hope that you can give. This is the story that you need to tell, because that is every breath that we have. That's what every breath is meant for. To let people know there's hope in Christ. Whatever you need, he can fill. Be the agents of Christ's hope in this world this Christmas season. Let's pray. Father God, you are so great. You are so mighty. You are so gracious and forgiving. I cannot imagine why. And yet you chose to restore us. Even though we failed you as Peter did, you called us once again and given us a task to captivate the world with your gospel. To care for those around us, to be united in anticipating your return. Lord Jesus, we look forward to that day. Strengthen us until that time. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Please stand. Before we sing the last song, I just want to say that all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who had the blessing of his forgiveness and his grace, we're not just to keep quiet about it. We're heralds. We're supposed to tell everybody who knows about this to really experience it. So our job, our heralds, so we're asked to do one thing. So go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
benediction upon your hearts this morning. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I'd have you turn to your bulletin announcements this morning just for a few brief moments. Just to remind you that we will have a coffee time after the service. There won't be a forum upstairs in the library this morning. There will be a time to sign up, though, outside in the foyer for our various functions that are happening. So this week, on the Tuesday, we will be going out and delivering Christmas cards to our affordable housing people. And also, we've received some granola bars, and we'll be delivering those as well to our affordable housing people. So if you would like to do that, join me at 7 o'clock to go out to do that. Also, at 2 o'clock, we're going to be putting together those things. So 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, if you want to come and put together the Christmas cards and whatnot that will be going out in the evening, you're more than welcome to come to the church here and help me with that. Sign up outside in the foyer. There is a list for doing that. Also, there is a sign-up place there for you to sign up for our Christmas blessing potluck that's going to be happening this next weekend. It's come upon us very quickly, hasn't it? So Saturday is full in way of everybody that's registered. But as we sung Go Tell It on the Mountain, we want to also have some tickets available for you if you want to invite a friend on that evening. So no new sign-ups in way of new people from the church. But if you want to bring a guest on and you're already signed up, you can grab an extra ticket and sign up for them. So please, as you go today, pray about that, thinking about who could I bring on that next Saturday. And for the rest of us that haven't signed up, those of us who have procrastinated, like myself, we're going to be signing up on the Sunday. And so same applies to us. We can apply in way of application in signing up and also getting tickets for ourselves, but also to be praying, who could I bring? And coming with that expectation that we'll have a great time together in celebrating our Christmas potluck together this next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So would you do that? As well, we're not amiss to not forget our children's choir performance on the following weekend after that. And we got, again, a special clip from our children's choir that we want to take a look at. So just take a look at the up top here with our video slide presentation.
Hey, cowpoke, why don't you step across this line?
Who, me? Are you kidding?
You hit the snowman.
Hey, why don't you all step across this line?
Hey, hey! Excuse me, hello! Hey! Hey, hey, hey!
Where are the costumes?
We're getting nervous.
Oh no, it's getting late.
You're all invited to come to our musical, Christmas Out of the Box. There'll be two showings on December 9th at 3:30 in the afternoon and 7 o'clock at night. Bring your food can and we'll see you there.
Hey cowpoke, why don't you step across the...
So do please come and sign up, get your tickets, and we encourage you to do that so that we can know the numbers that will be coming. So thank you all for joining us here today, and may God bless you as you go into your week and into the season to remember to go tell it on the mountain. Amen? Amen. Oh, yes, sorry. Thank you, Larry. I almost forgot there. I'm glad you raised your hand and stopped me right there on the spot.
Thanks, Pastor Larry. Anyhow, everybody can relax and take a deep sigh of relief because I'm not giving a financial presentation this morning. Actually, this morning the Elders Board would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge our appreciation to all of our pastors and office staff at Westwood Alliance Church. So we normally do this in October, but now that we're also now at the end of November, we decided to combine our appreciation with a Christmas gift as well. So if I can have the pastors come forward, please. May and Joe, Larry and Pastor Jim, and also the other two elders, Robin and Rick. So I just want to say in front of you these four, this is the nerve center of the multicultural congregation. They do it all. They know it all. So anyhow, on behalf of the elders and the whole church family, we want to thank you for your faithfulness and dedication and hard work throughout the year. And I know you guys have put in a lot of effort, a lot of hard work. So thank you very much for all that you've done for this church. Amen. So, so Pastor May, I want to thank you for caring for our children. May does it all. Anything that to do with children, she's it. She does everything from nursery to toddlers, preschool, children up to grade 6, looks after the Awana, the VBS, the interns that we have. She does everything. So thank you, May, for all your hard work. Next, Pastor Joe. Thank you for looking after our youth. Pastor Joe does the junior and senior high and the young adults. And I know teenagers can be a handful. So he's got his work cut out. So please pray for him. Pastor Jim, thank you for establishing the choir that we now have. And he also serves on various committees like the Benevolence and the Missions Committees. So thank you, Jim. And Pastor Larry, well, what can I say about you? Actually, besides giving us God's word every week, Pastor Larry oversees the Deacons Board and also all the programs here at Westwood, so he does it all. In fact, he also knows how to play tennis. So, anyhow, let's all stand and show them our appreciation, won't you?
And that's it. Thank you so much for joining us here at Westwood today. God bless as you leave.